Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, New York City, late summer 1968. Again in New York. In late August 1968, I took advantage of the school break to visit my parents in New York City. My grades had improved since I had become a devotee, and as my parents thought my newfound Krishna consciousness was a passing fad, they reluctantly accepted my changed lifestyle. They didn't like me burning incense in the house, and I kept my door closed to the unholy odors of their cooking. Outside of these inconveniences, they had nothing tangible to complain about. I used to visit the 26th Second Avenue Temple from my parents' home, sometimes staying overnight. On one visit, I met Mukunda, Gurudas, Shamasundar, and their wives. They had come from San Francisco via Montreal and were on their way to London to open ISKCON's first center there. During their visit, we heard good news. Prabhupada had been given permanent residency by the American Immigration Office and would soon be arriving in New York. We felt the expectancy and joy of children freshly informed that Christmas, with holidays and gifts, had just been rescheduled for the following week. The devotees painted over the matchless gift signboard that still adorned the entrance to 26 Second Avenue, transforming it into the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada's imminent arrival inspired me to shave my head for the first time. I remember that the devotee's name who actually painted that first sign, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was named Gopinath. And also, I remember going out on the streets in Sankirtan with a shaved head for the first time and thinking, I bet all the people think that I'm one of them. Anyway, here's my comment on that, on the previous section. A devotee's personal inspiration and commitment to advancement in Krishna consciousness is his wealth. Rupanuga, the leader of our fledgling buffalo temple, did not once express that my spending time with my parents would cause me to bloop or fall down. Rather, he trusted my inspiration to become a devotee and my own commitment to Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Prabhupada never pushed me or forced me to shave my head. Rather, he inspired me to please him. Based on his inspiration, shaving my head followed naturally. Yet Krishna consciousness and surrendered service to our spiritual master is not limited to our inspiration or our being dealt with in a congenial or respectful way. We must also serve when we are not feeling inspired. An advanced disciple is prepared to serve his guru unhesitatingly, without personal consideration, regardless of any difficulties. Selfless service to the spiritual master is a prerequisite for attaining selfless service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada's arrival in New York. Prabhupada entered the 26th Second Avenue Temple and lectured to the devotees who had gathered to greet him. He began by relating his travel experience in coming to New York. It had taken him 1 hour to fly from Montreal to New York, and then 2 hours to battle the traffic from New York's JFK Airport to the Lower East Side, and he mocked the so-called advancement of modern civilization. My comment. We all laughed along with Prabhupada at the foolishness of the modern materialists, the karmis. They were always making technological advances, but they could never foresee the repercussions that only cause greater inconvenience or even danger. Prabhupada worked to detach us from our conditioned view of, quote, advanced contemporary society. Radha and Krishna and Prabhupada in Brooklyn. Radhastami fell on a Sunday during Prabhupada's visit. The devotees planned to go with Prabhupada to the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens and hold kirtan. Indira Dasi and her sister Ekayani, Dasi were to be dressed up during the outing as Radha and Krishna. We should treat them just as we would Radha and Krishna, the temple president told us. Prabhupada arrived by car, while most of the devotees rode the subway. Quote, excuse me, parentheses, I wasn't sure how Radha and Krishna made their way, but later I found out that they too took the subway. The overcast sky suddenly cleared as Prabhupada arrived and illuminated the park with his presence. The devotees sat around Prabhupada, and Radha and Krishna sat nearby on a blanket. Prabhupada led the kirtan, and the devotees chanted and danced with their hands in the air. I brought my 35mm Kawa SLR camera, but I had no film. I was bubbling with anxiety. I really wanted to take pictures. So I left the kirtan to scour the New York streets for a shop open on a Sunday that sold film. I ran and ran, and finally I found the film, and I rushed back. Had been gone half an hour, and the kirtan was going strong. I snapped some photos. One was included in the original ISKCON handbook. Prabhupada chanting with Indira and Akiyani behind him, dressed as Radha and Krishna, published in 1969 by ISKCON Press. My comment. Prabhupada took part in the entire Radhastami festival without saying a word about Radha and Krishna. The devotees even offered them food and accepted their remnants as Mahaprasad. Months later, I heard that Prabhupada said it was not bona fide that we should and we should not do such things. Disciples speak. After the kirtan, Prabhupada requested his senior disciples one by one to preach. Brahmananda, Rupanuga, Damodar, Jadarani, and others stood and spoke. My comment. Only devotees were in listening range, so we understood that Prabhupada was examining his students. I watched Rupanuga stand and speak, his hands folded in sincerity, and I daydreamed, what would I say if Prabhupada called on me? I decided I would walk to the young black couples standing 100 yards away, watching us curiously, and invite them to come and meet Prabhupada. But Prabhupada didn't call on me. I wasn't sure if I was relieved or disappointed. I think that I was both, but more relieved than disappointed. Prabhupada at the movies. One afternoon the following week, we learned that Prabhupada would come down from his apartment and watch Damodar's 8mm movie of our Radhastami expedition. A single chair was placed in the temple room for Prabhupada, and a movie screen was set up. Prabhupada sat and watched the uncut, unedited, silent movie. After smiling and enjoying the movie with his disciples, he went back upstairs. My comment. A parent smiles with pleasure at a child's first attempt to walk or speak. Prabhupada was similarly pleased at 26 Second Avenue. As childish antics are no longer pleasing to a parent when the child has grown up because the parent expects more. Similarly, Prabhupada gradually expected more from his disciples. Prabhupada's early pastimes at 26 Second Avenue had long ago ended, yet Prabhupada still reciprocated easily with his disciples' simple attempts to please him. His mood was congenial, and he accepted whatever the devotees offered. Gradually, however, as the movement gained strength and the devotees began to mature in their Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada pushed his disciples to advance, distribute more books, and to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Around this time, Prabhupada also told his filmmaker disciple Damodar to make a movie of the Bhagavad Gita. He said, if you would make such a film, he would personally direct it. Also, that movie, it's available now, edited. It's an early one, but it's that one of the that visit, Radhastami visit to the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens. Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna.